In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name is John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us. What a wonderful Savior. I'm glad that all is well. And I'm glad we can sing and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow. He's our Savior. And I'm glad tonight that you're here to worship him. And without any other delay, I'm going to ask you to open your... By the way, did I tell you when you open your Bible, the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. As you're finding your place in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Oh, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled here on earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect and pure and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I'm going to read one verse from Romans chapter 8, and it will be verse number 32. And I shall read it after we pray. Now, Father, we thank Thee tonight for the coming of our Lord Jesus in the flesh, made like unto us and yet without sin, tempted in all points, living and dying and rising again and ascending back to the glory world. I pray if there be one soul here tonight who has never discovered the joy of knowing Christ as personal Savior, that they would come in this hour and trust Him. For those that are weary and worn and tired, those that are grieving, those that are under heavy burdens, depressed, despondent, in despair, discouraged, may they find strength and encouragement tonight from Christ. In His name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Romans chapter 8 at verse number 32. Would you watch every word? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? As I read that verse, my mind comes to 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You need to underscore that word unspeakable. Let me give you two meanings of that word. Number one, it means unable to be told out. It's so great, it's so magnificent, you can't even tell it out. And the second meaning, words too sacred to be uttered. God's gift, ladies and gentlemen, is precious, priceless, pure, perfect, and pontifical. Can I tell you that God's gift is the gift that keeps on giving? It goes beyond December 25th. It goes beyond the new year and the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in 2019. It goes beyond the 21st century. It goes beyond your brief sojourn on this earth, whether it be 70 or whether it be 80 and more. It goes beyond all of the uncounted, unnumbered, unnamed ages of eternity. How long is eternity, somebody asked. I'm glad you asked. I've got an answer. Eternity is as long as God is. And God is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Remember the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90? Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and saidst, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth, for we are consumed by Thine anger. And by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. All our days are spent in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let me repeat, God is from everlasting to everlasting. Can I give you just one brief sentence from His autobiography? It's written in Isaiah chapter 48 at verse 12. Listen to what He says. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're first, there's nothing ahead of you. If you're last, there's nothing behind you. So you're everything. Everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. And Jesus is right there too. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is more than snowballs and snowmen and snow sleighs. Christmas is more than fruitcakes and baked ham and deviled eggs and chestnut roasting on an open fire. Christmas is more than ribbons and jingle bells and beautifully wrapped packages. Christmas is more than Christmas trees and children's toys and a trip to grandma's. Christmas is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I confess tonight that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my sovereign, my sufficiency, my supply, my strength, my satisfaction, my security, my standard bearer, my shepherd, my sacrifice, and my substitute. I confess that Jesus Christ is my life. He is my Lord. He is my light. He is the rock of my salvation. I love Him tonight, don't you? I'm glad we can sing, all is well. I'm glad that Jesus is alive. Jesus is wonderful. I wish that I could describe Him. I tried this morning, but I failed. He was conceived in the womb of a virgin. He was born in a stable. He was reared in obscurity. He died on a cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Buried? Jesus? Buried? Is that the end of the story? Absolutely not. On the morning of the third, I told you this morning some wonderful things happened on the third day. On the morning of the third day, He arose. Up from the grave He arose. With a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor of the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose! He arose! Hallelujah! Christ arose. And He lives on high. By the way, He's coming back again. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. He's coming back to rapture us. To take us to heaven. After the 7-year period of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, the great tribulation, He's coming to rule the world with a rod of iron, to reign 1,000 years upon this earth. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth His successive journeys run, His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south, the princes meet to pay their homage at His feet. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. I'm glad He came out of that tomb shouting, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. He came out of that tomb shouting, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He came out of that tomb shouting, because I live, he shall live also. John in the Revelation said, I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh, he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember that John said upon his head there were many crowns. That word crown there is interpreted or translated diadem. Upon his head were many diadems. The first time he came, he wore a crown of thorns. The second time he comes, he will wear a crown of royal diadems. Did you know that in Queen Elizabeth's crown there are 2,000 diamonds, 200 pearls, 11 emeralds, 17 sapphires, and 5 rubies, not to be compared with a crown that our Lord Jesus Christ will wear? Because he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. John Phillips said, man crucified him, God crowned him. Man entombed him, God enthroned him. Man cast him out, God caught him up. Man executed him, God exalted him. That's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. But I promise you, I will not infringe upon eternity with this very timely message. I've entitled it, How to Have a Merry Christmas. Two things I'm going to talk about, and they have a few things under them, so just sit back and relax. You will be home in time for the Santa Claus. I submit, oh, he doesn't come tonight, does he? That's tomorrow night. Well, we got plenty of time. I submit to you in the first place, you can have a Merry Christmas if you accept God's gifts to you. Notice the plural, gifts. I admonish you to accept God's gift of redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with the corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I admonish you to accept God's gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I admonish you to accept a home in heaven with Jesus. That's God's gift to you. By the way, did you know you were on Jesus' prayer list? You know, it makes me feel good sometimes. Once in a while, about every 100 years, a preacher will call me. And he'll say, Dr. Barber, you're on my prayer list. About 100 years apart. But you know, to be on Jesus' prayer list, in John chapter 17, the high priestly, mediatorial, intercessory prayer of our Lord Jesus, he prayed 3 times in that prayer for you. I'm going to cite one of them, 24th verse. He prayed, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go to heaven in answer of Jesus' prayer. And I can assure you, God will answer the prayer of his Son. He did in the garden. He did on the cross. He answered his prayer, and he will answer this prayer for you and for me to be with him, to behold his glory for all the ages uncounted of eternity. John R. Rice said, you can never enjoy Christmas until you can look up into the Father's face and tell him you have received his Christmas gift. In a very feeble way, and I'm certainly not a poet, I've written a few poems. You'll find them in this book over here that I'm going to talk to you about later on. And I wrote a little poem called Gift of Gifts. I'll share it with you. Gift of Gifts, Savior of the world. Gift of gifts, God's love unfurled. Gift of gifts, the eternal word. Gift of all gifts, greatest ever heard. Gift of all gifts, heaven and earth proclaim. Gift of all gifts, salvation through his name. Gift of all gifts, ancient of days. Gift of all gifts, worthy of praise. Gift of all gifts, the sinner's friend. Gift of all gifts, life without end. How well do I remember 75 years ago, as a lad of 11, I accepted his gift of eternal salvation. I heard an old-fashioned preacher preach an old-fashioned message from an old-fashioned word about an old-fashioned Savior. And I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and I got a good dose of old-time religion. And I've been singing it in my heart ever since. The old-time religion is good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas and it's good enough for me. It was good for our fathers and it's good enough for me. It was good for our mothers and it's good enough for me. Makes the Methodists love the Baptist, and it's good enough for me. Makes us love each other, and it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven, and it's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying, and it's good enough for me. A few months ago, my wife and I went out to the funeral home. And we made arrangements for our burial, our funeral services. The casket, the headstone, the grave, the cover on the casket. We just got it all at one time. By the way, that's not a bad idea. So your people you leave behind won't have to fuss and fight over it. Oh, I like this casket. No, I want this casket. No. Do it now. Well, at any rate, on the headstone, Raymond W. Barber, August the 12th, 1932. Helen Barber, February the 13th, 1931. And then there are two blank spaces where they're supposed to engrave the dates of our death. But you know what? I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. I told the undertaker, if Jesus comes before we die, you just give this to somebody else and put somebody else in that hole. I'm glad tonight that we have a living Savior. I'm glad that he's free to everybody who wants him. Now, my second point. I submit to you that you can have a Merry Christmas if you give your gifts to Jesus. By the way, have you forgotten whose birthday it is? How would you feel when your birthday rolls around? Everybody came to see you, but they didn't give you anything. They gave each other gifts. They patted each other on the back. They kissed each other on the cheek. They shook hands with each other, wished them happy birthday, and there's poor Jesus. And nobody said a word to him. Don't let that happen. The wise men gave Jesus gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. The gold represents kingly authority. He is the king. Frankincense represents worship, and he's the only one worthy of our worship. And myrrh represents suffering, and he suffered for us. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, love and sorrow flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Now you may not have such expensive gifts as the wise men brought, But you know what? You can give what you have. Give Jesus your heart to be his throne. The hymn writer wrote, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is a pathway of blessing for me. Dear Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. My friend, listen to me. Jesus deserves to be the king of your life because of who he is. Who is this baby who was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary? I hasten to tell you, he's more than another name on Caesar's census roll. He's more than another number on Bethlehem's population register. He's more than another boy in a carpenter shop. He's the star of Jacob, the root of David, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Wonderful One, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Comforter, the Holy One, the Captain of our salvation, the Commandant of all Commandants, the Commander-in-Chief. He's the bread of life, the light of the world, the way to God, the true vine, the good shepherd, the door of salvation, the resurrection and the life. He's the beloved one. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Can I tell you that he's, again, I know that you may say, well, you've said that before. Well, you said a lot of things you've said today before, too. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. A second gift that you can give Jesus. You can give Jesus your talent to serve him in whatever capacity you can. Why do we make so many excuses for not serving Jesus? Well, preacher, I'm too old. Well, welcome to the club. Preacher, I'm too young. I'm too sick. I'm too feeble. I don't have a college education. I never did go to seminary. Well, D.L. Moody never did go to college either, but he shook two continents for Christ. He preached to over 100 million people without television or radio or public address system. He personally won 250,000 people to Jesus Christ without a college education, without a seminary education, having never seen the inside of a college or a seminary. So don't use that as an excuse. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, it may have been me. I'm only one person. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And by the grace of God, I will do what I can. You may never be able to steer a ship, but you can paddle a canoe. You may never be able to rule a kingdom, but you can regulate a family. You may not be able to sing like a canary, but you can hum like a hummingbird. A third gift you can give to Jesus. Now fasten your seatbelts. You can give Jesus your money. to help build his church in this world. Can I tell you, it takes three books to operate this church. It takes God's book, and that's God speaking to us. It takes the hymn book. That's Dr. Johnson singing to us. By the way, could I just put this in now? I travel a whole lot. I go to little churches, medium churches, large churches, conferences, all of that. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think anybody has a better, more Christ-like, Spirit-filled, God-honoring musical program than Worth Baptist Church. Thank God for it. God's book, hymn book, and pocket book. Yeah, you knew that was coming. Somebody said, that preacher can't ever preach without talking about money. Well, that's all right. Jesus said a whole lot. Of the 36 parables Jesus gave, 33 of them, or 12 of them, one-third of them, was about money. Hello? Money. Yeah, it takes money. The most sensitive nerve in the whole human body is the one that leads to the pocketbook. I remember a few years ago in the old church, we had a young man that got saved. He had on a pair of jeans, and in his back pocket was his billfold. I said, son, he was about 25 or 6 years old. I said, son, your billfold. Oh, he said, I want to get my billfold baptized too. Hey, I like that. Get your billfold baptized. By the way, do you know why God loves a cheerful giver? By the way, he'll take it from an old grouch too. If you don't believe it, try him and see. Because he's a cheerful giver himself. God loves, 2 Corinthians 9:7, a cheerful giver. Because he, Romans 8:32 that I read you as my text, freely, cheerfully, happily, gives us all things. And by the way, it's not what you do if riches were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and a quarter you've got. Amen. What, giving again, I ask in dismay? Must I keep on giving and giving always? Oh, no, said the angel piercing me through. Just keep giving till he stops giving to you. I promise you, if you accept God's gifts and you have given him your gifts, you are well on the way to having a very Merry Christmas. And the celebration has just begun. The name Francis Havergal may not mean a lot to you, but all through our hymn book, there are hymns by Francis Havergal. She started reading when she was 3 years old. By the way, I was preaching down here in South Texas about 3 weeks ago, and a woman came up, had a young girl in her arms, and she said, preacher, my daughter wants to quote to you the first chapter of Philippians. And she did. I said, how old is she? She said, 2 years old. Wow. Frances Havergal started reading the Bible when she was 4. She started composing songs when she was 7 years old. Now get this, she learned Greek, Hebrew, Latin, German, French, and Italian. She memorized the four Gospels, the epistles, the Psalms, the minor prophets, the prophecy of Isaiah, and the book of the Revelation. Wow. One day she stood in a museum for a long time, looking at a picture of the crucifixion of Christ. She wept sorely when she thought of the sufferings of the Savior. She went home and she wrote one of her classic hymns, and I'm going to give you the words of it. It's entitled, I Gave My Life for Thee. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue you from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. Holy Spirit has an opportunity to speak to your heart. By the way, the altar's open. The invitation has already started. If you're here tonight without Christ and don't have the assurance of going to heaven, there'll be somebody down here to show you from the Word of God how you can know you're going to heaven. You're here as a Christian, a church member, and God has spoken to your heart tonight. God has shown you some of these things about talent and time and energy and your heart and money. Why don't you just respond to what God's saying to you tonight? On this Christmas Sunday, it would be a good time for you to come forward and just spend a moment, maybe 30 seconds at the altar. Nobody's going to put you on the spot or give you a test of any kind. Just a few seconds to talk to Jesus. Let him talk to you at an altar prayer on Christmas Sunday. Bring the family. Bring mother and daddy. Bring the husband and wife. Bring the children. Bring grandma and grandpa. Come yourself. I pray Brother Johnson will lead us. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the timelessness of your word, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and Jesus our Savior, and that's what Christmas is all about. Speak to hearts here tonight. Some may want to come and pray and talk to you and tell you some things and let you tell them some things about their lives. I don't know, but you know. Now speak to all of us, I pray in Jesus' name.